We will continue these spring services this afternoon by reading from the 38th chapter of Isaiah, the first five verses. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall, and he prayed unto the Lord. And he said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in a truth and with a perfect heart, and I have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, that I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Amen. Going back to the time of Moses, there have been various types of leadership. Moses, as we know, was called to lead the children of Israel out of bondage, captivity, where they had been for about 400 years. And Moses, as we know, led the children of Israel through the wilderness journey, so-called wilderness journey, and led them to the borders of the promised land. But he was not allowed to lead them in. And Joshua was then called to lead the children of Israel into Israel, or the promised land, rather. And after that time, Joshua ended up passing away, and there wasn't a designated leadership after that. And so there were some elders that served as leaders for a period of time. And then came the period of the judges, where the judges began to take over leadership. But the judges led for a certain period of time, and then the people demanded a king. And finally Samuel anointed the first king, King Saul. And so that began then the period of the kingship. And so various kings led through their own phase or time period. Typically a father would be a king, and then his elder son would take over kingship when he passed away. Some of those kings were holy and righteous kings. They were good kings, and others were not so good. Ahaz was Hezekiah's father, and as a king, he was not a good king. The five kings before him were good, holy, righteous kings. But then Ahaz came along, and he was kind of a bad apple, you might say. He began to form these idols out of molten metal, I suppose. Idols they called Baal, their god of Baal. And people were worshiping these idols. Brought these idols up into what they called the high places. High places is where the believers didn't worship. But high places were known as where idol worship took place. And that's where Ahaz had his people go to worship. And worship these these images of Baal. When the announcement of Jesus came to Ahaz, Isaiah was sent to bring that announcement to Ahaz. And Ahaz, instead of listening to prophet Isaiah, he went deeper and deeper into idolatry. And in fact, at the time of his death, he was not honored by the people. He was not what they call worthy of a royal tomb, as the kings of that time would typically be placed into a royal tomb when they passed away, but not for Ahaz because of his behavior. And so Hezekiah, again, was his son. Ahaz passed away, and Hezekiah became the next king then. He was about 29 years old at the time when his father passed away. And he was completely different than his father. He reinitiated religious reform. Back when Moses was leaving Egypt, we recall how that situation went, where they were to put blood on the doorposts of their house. That way, when the angel of death came through the land to kill the firstborn of all the Egyptians, that they would pass over those houses which had the blood on the doorposts. And so that initiated then the feast of the Passover. But that feast had been not recognized during the kingship of Hezekiah's father, Ahaz. But when Hezekiah became king, he reinitiated the Passover feast. He came into the temple and he cleansed the temple, invited all those people to come back to the Passover to celebrate the Passover. And he told the priests that they need to cleanse themselves before they can continue their work in the temple. So he initiated this religious reform, got rid of that idol worship, those idols of Baal that had been created by his father. He destroyed them all. On Friday evening, we heard about the that brass serpent that was used on the wilderness journey. It was put up on the pole, and those people that were bitten by the poisonous snakes, when they looked upon that brass serpent, they would be protected or cleansed from that poison. And the people had they put their trust in that brass serpent instead of the faith that was required. And they took that brass serpent with them and carried it on with them from generation to generation. And they still had it at the time of King Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah destroyed that brass serpent. That had its purpose back there to initiate or to show that it only required faith and belief in God that they could be protected. So they had the kind of the wrong understanding of that brass serpent. It had become an idol for them. And so when we hear about that background of King Hezekiah, we have in our mind a picture that he was a good king. And he was a good king, especially in the beginning of his kingship. He did all this work on behalf of the kingdom of God. But as we know, the enemy is not idle. We've heard through this weekend how the enemy of the soul, he knows our weaknesses. In the time we live, especially, we have things like the internet and social media and these blogs and stuff that can be problematic for us. Of course, they didn't have those at the time of Hezekiah, but Hezekiah had he had been a good king and things had gone well for him. And that became problematic for him. He began to think in his own mind that, things are going pretty good for me. Began to trust in himself. Trust in his own works. Believe in his own power. Many times we fall. We fall both to the left and to the right. Some people may have a tendency to drift towards the left. The sins of the flesh, for example. Other people may have a tendency to drift towards the right, like Hezekiah had. Self-righteousness. Thinking that, I'm pretty good. I go to services every Sunday and Bible class on Wednesday evening or whatever it is. I read the Bible and so on. Think, I do pretty good. I reject all of these temptations and so on. But I think for many of us, I could say from my own experience, I experienced both of them. As we heard this weekend already, how many thoughts go through our mind so quickly. One class I took, they had told us that your mind is processing millions of pieces of information within seconds of time. So 1 second you might be attracted to the temptations of the flesh, and the next might be the temptations of self-righteousness. That's how quickly we are able to fall. We sin every day. And as we've heard, we sometimes sin and we don't even realize it. So what sins then ought we confess? If we may even sin and we don't even realize it. Luther teaches that we ought to confess those sins that we are aware of and that trouble our conscience. John, when he was on the Isle of Patmos, he had seen these visions. And in one of them, in the third chapter of Revelations, this was a message was to the church of Laodicea. He said in this way, or John, I suppose, heard this vision. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. If you're cold, you need to put something on to stay warm. If you're hot, you need to take something off or go into air conditioning to cool off. You're looking for some kind of a change because you're not comfortable. During one of our visits this weekend, somebody mentioned that it's probably wouldn't be good for believers to live in a place that was perfect because you wouldn't have the feel or the need for something. We've had a cold spring here in our area, and people have been looking forward to the warmer weather like now we are experiencing. Rory has been telling us in Phoenix that it's warming up, about 100 degrees so far, already in May. That's not a problem for them, I suppose, but maybe it'll be pretty hot this summer. And I know he's told me before that when it hits 115 on Friday afternoon, I-17 is pretty crowded for people trying to get out of town, get into the cooler weather. And so this kind of example was used for the angel of the church of Laodicea. Because apparently this angel, or the priest of the church of Laodicea, had become comfortable with the way things were going. And so he continues and said, "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." And so this apparently is what had happened to King Hezekiah. The things had become pretty good for him. He was lukewarm, so to speak. Felt confident in his own power and works. And so, Heavenly Father had love for him. We heard here in the 18th chapter of Matthew how it says, it is the will of the Heavenly Father that not one of the little ones would be lost. And so he sent the messenger to Hezekiah. That messenger was Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. That was when Hezekiah became sick. And so things had gone well for Hezekiah, and then he became sick. Rory was mentioning in his sermon about that kind of that cycle of sin. So now things had gone well for Hezekiah, and then he began to forget about God's kingdom, and now he became sick. So he was at the bottom of that cycle, you might say, that cycle of sin. And so then Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said, "Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." And it's interesting how Hezekiah responded. He had drifted into self-righteousness. So listen to his response. He turned his face toward the wall. He looked away from Isaiah. And he prayed unto the Lord. And he said, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and I have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. It sounds similar to a parable that we sometimes hear about, recorded in the 18th chapter of Luke, where there was a situation described in this parable about a certain man who trusted in himself, like Hezekiah. Or no, this parable was spoken to a certain group of people who trusted in themselves. So they were Pharisees in a sense. Who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. So then this was the parable. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood among himself, or thus with himself, and he said, God, I thank Thee that I am not like other men are, extortioners, unjust, idolaters, or even like this publican next to me. The publicans, you remember, were tax collectors. And they didn't have a way of controlling how much they, or what do you say, recording how much they collected. And so they collected more than they were supposed to do. So they were known by the people as thieves or sinners, sinful people. And so this Pharisee said, I sure am glad I'm not like this publican over here. And then he began to kind of brag. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes to all that I possess. And the publican, he had a different reaction. The sinner, a sinful man. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes into heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. He that exalteth himself shall be abased, or he who lifts himself up will be brought down, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So the humble person will be lifted up. So Hezekiah's heart was like this Pharisee, self-righteous man. And he had got this message that he was going to die. And it was probably close on his mind because he was sick at the time. Sick to the point of death. And it was a good time to give him this message, because the prophet had his undivided attention. The next verse in this text, it's a little bit out of place. Because it says, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, thy God of David, I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And so some may think that God heard the prayers of Hezekiah, that kind of lament that he had. As we heard. Remember, O Lord, I beseech Thee, how I have walked before Thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and I have done that which is good in Thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. So some may think that by that prayer of his, or that complaint of his, he was then given those extra years to live. The Bible teaches us in other places, that we are not made heaven acceptable by prayer. For example, if we looked at the 10th chapter of Acts, there was a situation there where Cornelius had prayed. He was a centurion. Centurion means he was a leader of a band of 100 people. Century means 100. Centurion is a leader of 100 people, approximately. So he was a leader of a big crowd of people. And it says here that he was a devout man. One that feared God with all his house, which he gave much alms. And he prayed to God always. And so he was not a believing man at that time. But in this example, it says how he saw a vision which told him to send men to Joppa. And the men went to Joppa and they found Peter. Peter the apostle. And Peter was invited to come back to Cornelius' house. And when Peter came back, he began to preach to them. And he was able to preach the forgiveness of sins there in the house of Cornelius. So they weren't saved by their prayer, but by and through the merit works of our Lord and Savior Jesus, which Peter was able to preach unto them. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he also teaches about prayer. This Sermon on the Mount covers a few different chapters in Matthew. And in the sixth chapter, the beginning part of it, it says in this way, with respect to prayer. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues, in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. What is their reward? It's the attention that they get from the people in the synagogues and standing on the street corners. People have a tendency to, I suppose, respect them, thinking they are righteous people. But he continues, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. And so Hezekiah, in this example, had been given the announcement of his death. And that had got his attention. We as believers, we've heard and we believe by faith that we don't need to fear death because our sins have been forgiven and we are made heaven acceptable. But we're made of flesh and blood. And for that reason, I'm sure it is for you as it is for me that we would fear it because of our flesh. But it's part of our life cycle. And when we have the peace of God in our hearts, we don't need to fear it, even though we often do. So Hezekiah had received this message, and he was sorrowful over it, as we heard. But later in this 38th chapter of Isaiah, it tells us what had happened to Hezekiah. At first he was self-righteous. Remember what I have done. I've done all these good things and I've been perfect. Why am I sick now and why am I going to die? So when Isaiah had heard this reaction from Hezekiah, he ended up leaving. Hezekiah was left alone. And this is what Hezekiah, opinion, I guess, or his demeanor, how it changed after Isaiah had left. Because he wrote about it later. And that writing is recorded later in the 38th chapter of Isaiah. It says, the writing of Hezekiah, when he had been sick and was recovered from his sickness, he said in this way, I said in the cutting off of my days, or in other words, when he got that announcement that his days were going to be cut, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. He was still a fairly young man. And his life, he got the announcement that his life was going to be taken away, and it seemed like it was unnaturally early to him. He said, I shall not see the Lord. So he recognized his condition, that he was not believing. Even the Lord in the land of the living, I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life, and he will cut me off with pining sickness. From the day, even the night, wilt thou make an end of me. And so, as we heard, Isaiah had left, and then he was halfway home, and he got another task by God. Go back to see Hezekiah, because his heart has changed. This is how his heart had changed. I reckon till morning that as a lion, so will he break my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn like a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. And then he said, O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. The Apostle James writes in this way, that the fervent and effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so Hezekiah, at first his prayer wasn't the correct kind of a prayer. But now, later he realized his condition and his prayer changed. And that had an effect on God. And so that's when he said, Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And if we were to read the next verses, he also gave a sign to Hezekiah, I guess to help comfort him in a way. And the sign was that the sundial of Ahaz would go back 15 degrees. Behold, he said, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees backwards. So the sun returned 10 degrees, which the degrees it was gone down. When I was recently in Ecuador, I saw a sundial. It was kind of in a museum, I guess, area. And I saw a shadow on the sundial and compared it with my watch, and it was pretty close. This sundial was in the shape of a half moon. So when the sun is shining from a certain position, it will shine, make a shadow on the sundial. So that was that kind of a sundial, but the sundial of Ahaz, some have thought it might be some kind of a stairway. And then when the sun is shining on the stairway, it's sends a shadow on a certain stair, which tells you what time it is. So the sign that God had given to Hezekiah, was that it was going to go backwards 10 degrees. So how could that be? Without changing the position of that device, whatever it was that was creating the shadow, the only way that it could go backwards is to change the position of the sun. And so that was how Hezekiah was able to gain confidence that God had promised him another 10 years. And it also illustrates the power that God has, even the power over nature. We've been able to see the power of nature here recently, in some sense. We've been getting the spring snowstorms, 10 inches at a time. A few days later, it's all gone. Interesting. God has such power. Power that we can be in awe of when we look around and see the majesty of His nature. So we have a good God that has promised to take care of us. As we heard already, it is His will that not one of these little ones would be lost. It was so for Hezekiah, who had gone off onto the ways of the world. And it's so for us even today. He's promised to be with us every day, even unto the end of the world. And so this afternoon hour, lift up your hearts and believe all of your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And be of good cheer. In Jesus' name, amen.